But as we look at this road that Jesus walked, I appreciate so much the song that Liz shared with us. Because it kind of followed that road that we're here to celebrate today. Not just the road to the cross, the road beyond the cross. The road to the resurrection. But I want to take us to that next road that Jesus walked, the road with his disciples after the resurrection, the road that we find ourselves walking today as we serve, as we live with a resurrected Savior. And as this story unfolds, we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 13. Followers of Jesus that walk with Jesus, but they don't know they're walking with Jesus. And it made me think, I asked this on Facebook this past week, have you ever encountered someone famous, someone popular, someone well-known, and you didn't realize it until later? And you go, wow, we were in the same room. How did I miss that? And you think, boy, if only I had known. I would have loved to have shake their hand. I would have loved to have talked to them. I would have loved to ask them some questions, but I missed it. And this road with our resurrected Lord is a road that sometimes we miss because we're looking for something different than what we get. Because our hearts are broken. And we're not seeing clearly. We're not hearing clearly. And after Jesus rose from the dead, some of his followers decide we're going to go back home. And on this road with the resurrected Lord, a man joins them and just kind of starts up a conversation. And eventually they realize who he was. And that's the way we live life. We encounter Jesus, and sometimes we're so caught up in life that we forget or we don't recognize or we ignore the fact that Jesus is with us. And so as we walk this road with the resurrected Lord, I want us to consider what it is that he's walking with in our life. Four things I want us to look at in this passage about walking with the Lord. The first part is an incredible part that ought to bring us great comfort. We walk with the Lord, and the Lord walks with us when we walk with the loss of life. We talked about that earlier during our prayer time. The Maxey family is going through that right now. Walking with the Lord in the midst of loss. But we all do that to one extent or another. Sometimes it's a loved one we lose. Sometimes it's our keys that we lose. But regardless of the nature of the loss, we experience a brokenness. And because we look for Jesus in the big losses of life, we sometimes fail to look for him in the small losses of life. That's too petty for Jesus to worry about. But it isn't. Listen to this story, this loss that these disciples, these followers of Jesus are dealing with. Beginning at verse 13 of Luke chapter 24. Now that same day, you go back up to the previous part of Luke 24. It was the day Jesus rose from the dead that he was discovered to be missing from the tomb. That same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened, And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. And so from their perspective, this was just a stranger who joined them on the walk and began to have a conversation. In fact, verse 17, he asked them, "What is it you are discussing together as you walk along?" And they stood still, their faces downcast. Their hearts were grieved. The loss was real. And they were sharing together in their grief. Verse 18, one of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there these last days?" Now, in modern language, these followers of Jesus are actually asking Jesus, "Are you clueless? Where have you been? Everybody knows what happened." Again, they didn't know it was Jesus, but that's what they were doing. And verse 19, Jesus asked, "What things?" "Well, about Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But what we had hoped without, but we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all of this took place." On this road with the Lord, there was an experience of loss that these followers of Jesus were struggling to deal with. They were stuck in what had happened. They were shocked that a stranger would have no idea what had happened. When we deal with loss in life, we kind of look for people that are a little bit compassionate towards us, that have a little bit of understanding, that care about what's going on. If we're in the midst of loss and someone approaches us and seems clueless, it's like, "Ah, forget it. I need comforted. I need help." And it's an encouraging thing to me to recognize from God's word, as Jesus walked with these individuals, he joined them in their loss. So much so that they were willing to continue to have him walk with them. In fact, you'll discover towards the end of the story that they are so encouraged by Jesus joining them in their loss that they invite him to stay the night. Still thinking that they were experiencing loss. And so today I would encourage you, as we celebrate, as we worship a risen Lord, to consider the loss of life, the loss in your life, the loss that weighs you down, and ask yourself, what would it look like if Jesus joins me in this walk in the midst of my loss? How does he encourage me? How does he help me? How does he lift me up? Not only did Jesus join them in their loss, he also joined them in their observation. Now, there are times that we look at things and we see them a certain way, and we determine, because that's the way that we see them, that's the way that it is. And we even have a phrase, "Seeing is believing." But sometimes that's not true. Sometimes we see things so much, so partially, that we miss the whole story. That's what happens here. They had an observation. They had been told by witnesses a certain story, but it didn't quite add up. And so as we pick up in verse 22, Jesus joins them in their observation about what has really happened. Verse 22, in addition, some of our women amazed us. To me, that's a fascinating line. They went to the tomb early this morning, but did not find his body. We had people in our group that were so dedicated, so desiring to finish up this burial process that they got up early and went to take care of this, and there was nobody there. Wow. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Jesus, not even knowing it's Jesus, sir, here's what we've observed. Things aren't adding up. Here's what we observe. Things don't make any sense. I suspect that you've had those moments in your life. This is crazy. What in the world is going on? That can't be. Jesus joins us in those times of observation when the 1 plus 2 seems to equal 12 and we can't figure out why. Because we're missing part of the equation. We recognize something incredible happened. People saw an empty tomb, but they've not yet seen why. And so we've kind of made up our own story. And it's important to know, as Jesus joins us in our observation, that we only see a part of the picture that God opens up for us to see. And the rest of the picture requires us to know his word and to walk by faith. That's what Jesus was wanting. In the midst of their loss, they explained the situation. They even made it clear it's been 3 days since he died. Well, if they had been listening, if they had opened up their eyes in faith beyond the visual observation, they would think, he said he would rise in 3 days. This kind of makes sense, but no. Before we get too hard on them, how often do we live in despair because we're not living by faith? We've heard God's promise, but that can't really be for me. He didn't really mean it that way. My peace I leave with you, not peace as the world gives, but peace that surpasses all understanding. Yeah, I know that's what he says, but he doesn't know my situation. Well, he does. And we walk this road with the Lord when we walk within the observation that sees not by sight, but by faith. And these disciples, these followers of Jesus, were confused because the reports that they were getting back, well, when viewed logically, made no sense. And they were not yet to the point that they were willing to view these reports through faith. And as we look at the cross, as we look at the empty tomb, as we look at the resurrection of Jesus, it requires that we live by faith. I don't know, in my mind this morning, because it was one of his favorite songs. I could just picture Tom Maxey in heaven flapping his arms, singing, "I'll Fly Away." And he's there. And his faith has been made whole. It's been made complete. But our faith is still growing. And when we live life looking at what God has already done, it ought to increase our faith. When we're willing to look at the times of our greatest doubt in the past and see how God carried us through those, it ought to help our observation of our current doubt as our faith grows. We walk with the Lord and He walks with us in our loss, in our observation. Those first two parts are things that deal with us. It deals with our experience in this walk with the Lord. This next part is His response. This walk with the Lord is also a walk with revelation. As we live by faith, He's willing and eager to reveal Himself to us, to make Himself known, to remove the doubts in order to strengthen us. Picking up in verse 25 of Luke 24. He, that is Jesus, said to them, I don't know, there's just something about walking. And I'm sure this just shocked them because they're still thinking it's a stranger. I'm not sure whether I'd rather hear this from a stranger or hear it from Jesus. I don't think I like it from either. How foolish are you? And how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken? Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter His glory? And then, beginning with Moses and the prophets, He explained to them what was said in all the Scriptures concerning Himself. And as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if He were going further. But they urged Him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over." So He went in to stay with them. Still a stranger. Still unknown. Had just confronted them about their lack of faith, about their lack of belief, and they say, "Hey, why don't you stay for supper?" I mean, wait a minute. But it wasn't the confrontation, I believe, it was the revelation. The part that says He went back to Moses and the prophets, He went to the beginning and said, explained, revealed all that Scripture said about the Christ and what He must endure and what must happen. We live life with God revealed to us through His Spirit, through His Word, through one another. We have this advantage. And God's desire is that we live life revealing Him to others through our actions, through our words, through our testimony. Somehow it brought peace to these disciples, to the extent that they were willing to invite this man in to stay the night. "We like what You've said. We appreciate the teaching from Scripture. It reminded us that, well, maybe the things that did happen were supposed to happen. And we look to God's Word and we discover the very essence of Jesus coming to earth was to reveal God to us in a way that we could grasp. But it's not just for me. It's not just for us. The last part of this walk with the Lord is not just a walk of loss. It's not just a walk of observation or of revelation, but it's also a walk of duty. There's an expectation. There's a responsibility. Verse 30, as he completely reveals, not just through the teaching, but through the Spirit. I want us to understand that and then look at the response. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. Oh, you talk about disappointing. Wow, he was just here and we missed it. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Should we not have noticed? Should we not have known? Were not the signs there that this was not just some ordinary guy? Ah, but the duty. The responsibility. Verse 33, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. This understanding of the responsibility when we encounter Jesus is to tell others. I don't know if you noticed that, but their reasoning, their rationale for inviting this stranger to stay the night with them was because it was getting late. The day's almost over. It's going to be dark. You don't want to be traveling out there on these roads at night by yourself. Stay with us. It's still night. Those roads are still dark. As Jesus is revealed and disappears, it isn't, boy, when morning comes, we ought to go tell somebody. Hey, if we see somebody tomorrow, we ought to let them know what was going on. No. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem to share the news that they had encountered a living Lord, a living Savior, a living Jesus. That the thing that had amazed them about the women finding the empty tomb and telling the story of the angels was true. The story of the resurrection of Jesus is one who conquered death, who defeated not just his own death, but the death of sin that entangles us. And as he joins us in our loss, as he joins us in our observations, as he reveals himself to us, it becomes our duty to go at once and to share him with all who would listen. To make the most of every opportunity, the Bible says. Why? Because he says the days are evil. I don't know if you've opened, I don't know how many people use newspapers anymore, but if you've opened a newspaper or any kind of news feed, you've probably noticed that the days are evil. Now, we think it's something new, that it's worse than it's ever been, but we're probably not that good of students of history if we say that, because Jesus claims the days are evil then. And because the days are evil, because people are perishing, is really the truth behind what he wants to say. It's our duty to make the most of every opportunity to share the good news. That he is indeed risen. He is indeed Lord and Savior. He is indeed coming back. And so we live life walking this road with the resurrected Lord. this morning. I don't know the extent of your loss. It may be severe. It may be mild compared to somebody else's, but to you it's severe. I want to encourage you this morning in the midst of whatever loss that you're dealing with, that Jesus desires to walk with you and to listen. Yeah, he eventually told them they were slow of heart and slow to understand, but he listened before he corrected. I don't know what you've seen happen in your life. I don't know what kind of observation others have seen and have told you about. But I want you to recognize this morning that Jesus wants to encounter you in life as you walk with him in such a way that it's obvious that he's there. Maybe this morning there's a need to understand who Jesus is. The good news, just as this stranger who was actually Jesus opened up scriptures and explained all that had happened, we have God's word that explains to us, that reveals God to us, that reveals Jesus' desire to walk with us and for us to walk with him. But our response, as we come to this time of decision, the question really is, not in a sense that you're doing it out of duty because you have to, but what is your duty? What is your response to Jesus joining you in your walk? What is your response to you joining Jesus on his walk? I believe the duty that God calls us each to is a duty of love. It's a duty of sharing the good news of Jesus. It's a duty of making him known. It's a duty that's done not simply by the way we talk, but it's by the way we live. When our words and our actions match, not just each other, but match God's word. When they align with what he says, we represent him in a way that we join him on the walk through life. And all of a sudden, we discover that very same thing. We're not our hearts burning as he walked with us at work. We're not our hearts burning as he walked with us in the grocery store. We're not our hearts burning as he walked with us through the park. We're not our hearts burning as he walked with us through the house. This resurrected Lord not only joined those two followers on the road to Emmaus, he joins us on our road home to him. If you're here this morning and you've never surrendered to Jesus, you've never said, I believe Jesus is the Christ. I believe he's the Savior of the world and the Savior of me. It's by his blood, it's by his sacrifice that my sins are forgiven. My desire is to be washed clean, to live by faith. That's where this walk with Jesus is fulfilled in our life. And I would love to have that conversation with you about those steps of life that are found in a saving faith. If you're here this morning and you're outside of that relationship with Christ, we're going to sing a song in a few moments and you can join me in the room to my left and we can begin that conversation. But I say each week, most of the time we gather because we've surrendered to Jesus, we've declared Him Lord, and we're here in order to encourage one another, to worship God, and yet we still need work. We still need to grow in faith. If you're here this morning and you need someone to pray with you, you're also welcome to join me in the room to my left and during this song, and we can pray together. You're always welcome to find somebody near you and say, hey, could you pray with me? And either pray where you're at or agree to meet after the service and pray together or get up and go into one of these other rooms and pray together. God brings somebody to mind during the week. Call them up and say, hey, I just wanted to pray for you. I just wanted to encourage you. Take the most, make the most of every opportunity to be responsible as a citizen of God's kingdom, to share His love, to share the encouragement that you yourself receive from Him. Would you stand as we sing?